Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The text for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, there is so much in our readings this morning that I would like to hit on, but I can't fit it all into one sermon, at least not without keeping you here all day. So today we are going to focus primarily on the name of Jesus. You see, it was in the sixth month of the year that the angel Gabriel, and by the way, this is the first time that we've seen Gabriel since the book of Daniel, that Gabriel came to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a backwater town, not even worth mentioning really in any of the history books. And still there lived a girl there named Mary. And Mary, who was probably quite young, 14 to 16, was betrothed to a man named Joseph, probably a bit older, as he already had a career as a carpenter and was out of his apprenticeship, but that was normal for the day. They were betrothed, which means that in one sense they were married, and yet they still had not come together as husband and wife. That was pretty typical for the day, that you would have two types of marriage, if you would. The only way that you could get out of a betrothal was to divorce. It's the same as getting out of a marriage. But here it would be that Mary, this 14-year-old girl, 16-year-old girl, was living at home with her parents because that was the norm. And she was, well, you can kind of imagine her sweeping the floor or straightening up the couch or maybe having just gotten in from getting the water out of the well and was doing the dishes for the day. And there, all of a sudden, Gabriel, the mighty archangel, pops up in her little house. You can imagine Gabriel, his giant wings filling the room, his sword standing nearby, taller than Mary herself, and Gabriel looking fearsome in the armor of God that had been placed upon him. And his first words to her are, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." This is fairly typical for angels because when people see them, they tend to get a little freaked out. And so his first words are words of comfort and peace. "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." What must have been going through Mary's mind at that time? "I'm favored? I know the Lord is with me. He's promised always to be with me. But he's favoring me? What could this mean?" She was greatly troubled at the saying, it says. You have to think that's quite the understatement. Greatly troubled at an angel appearing in your house and speaking comforting words to you. Mary, we know, was a faithful woman. Mary, we know, knew her scriptures well. And when an angel appears, it's not usually good news for the person the angel appears to. And Mary must be wondering, is he putting it on? Is this all fake? What's going on? And the angel said to her then words that angels have said countless times in their appearance, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not fear. Have no fear." We think of the angels in the fields to the shepherds. We think of the angel to Zechariah. We think of the angels even as they appear to John in Revelation. "Don't be afraid, Mary. The Lord has found you favorable. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." And she's thinking, okay, that's the normal way of woman, is it not? Women conceive in marriage and they bear children all the time. But then the angel tells her something that, well, is a little bit different. "You shall call his name Jesus." Now, we get the word Jesus from the Greek, which is Iesus. They don't have a J sound in Greek. And it goes that way in Latin, and then it gets transliterated into Jesus for us in English. But the Greek was based off of the Hebrew Yahshua, or Yeshua. In fact, Joshua and Yeshua, you may have heard that before, are the same name. Jesus is, in a very real sense, a greater Joshua than Joshua ever could have been. Joshua led his people into the promised land. Joshua saved them from the hands of the enemies of God. Joshua was the great commander and ruler over Israel. And Jesus is greater than this. Joshua stopped the sun in the sky by the power of God. And Jesus, by the power of God, the Son of God, is conceived in a human womb. Jesus is a greater Joshua. And the name itself means he shall save. That's all it means. Joshua is named that way, and he fulfilled his destiny according to God. And Jesus is named in the same, and he also fulfilled his destiny. For in his work, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, Jesus saved the whole world, you, from your sins. Jesus has not saved us out of the world, but Jesus has saved us because we are in the world. It's not often that God tells you what to name your kid. But here the angel is giving the message to Mary from God. This is what you shall name your son. He shall save. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. An amazing prophecy. Truth, but a prophecy nonetheless. Yet, of course, we know, according to the words of Isaiah, though this is true about Jesus, we esteemed him not. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He bore our iniquities. He bears our stripes. He took our death upon him, because we looked at Jesus and saw nothing in him that should give us any comfort. He is just a man, after all, is he not? He's a man who's getting in the way of the politics of Israel. He's a man who's getting in the way of me wanting to live my life the way that I want to. He's telling me things I don't want to hear. Let's kill him. And so it was. And yet, the death of the Christ is no small thing for God. For in his death, Jesus does indeed bring salvation to the world. And in his resurrection, he brings life to you, that you may be with him forever. He is the Son of the Most High. He will reign forever over the house of David and the house of Jacob. Jesus Christ is living. He's risen from the dead, never to die again, no matter what the world would do to him. And in that, we find hope for ourselves. No matter what this world would throw at us, whether it's this pandemic that we've been under, whether it's persecution coming from people, whether it's hardships like financial burdens or health burdens, no matter what the world may give you, your Jesus is risen from the dead. This Jesus who was given to Mary in her womb as a baby, grew up, and now he's risen from the dead. He lives forever. And you live forever with him. So Mary, hearing these great words of the angel Gabriel, looked at him, and not out of disbelief, like John's father, but out of faith and curiosity, says, well, how is it that I will conceive and bear a son? How will this be? I'm a virgin. She felt in her soul that this was an imminent thing. Perhaps she even felt it happening to her at that moment. And the angel said, it's too big for me to tell you, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Great teacher of the church, Norman Nagel, pointed this out, and it throws people for a loop, so don't get thrown for a loop when I say it. Mary conceived Jesus, the Virgin Mary, never known the touch of a man, conceived Jesus through the ear. Just as you have conceived faith in your ears, just as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, so did Jesus come to Mary by her hearing the word of God from the lips of the angel. And in that, the Holy Spirit entered into her by faith and conceived in her womb the Son of God. An amazing thing. It's never happened to any woman in the course of history, and it's never happened since. So you kind of wonder, did Mary know it was happening right at that moment in her? Could she feel the conception like a woman feels a baby kick when it reaches that first stage? I don't know. But the one who would save Mary from her sins was put inside of her by the Spirit, using her DNA, using her flesh, and the Son of God was born in her. As an aside, this should give us just a little confidence as we look to the life issue in this world, that Jesus Christ is a person. He is a human being, and he is God. The moment that he is conceived in Mary's womb, that should give us great hope that as we defend life in this church and throughout this country and throughout the world, we do it because our Jesus was a baby. The angel said to her, "The child that will be born to you will be called holy, the Son of God." The word holy meaning set apart. He is to be set apart from all creation. He is not created in and of himself. He is the author of creation. He will be set apart, this Son of God, this Son of Mary. What a beautiful thing that is, that our Jesus is the mediator between God and man, between you and God. Have you thought about this? That a mediator must have an interest in both parties in order to conduct his business carefully and rightly. And Jesus, being both God and man, can come to creation and look at you and say, "You are a great sinner and deserve hell." And being man, he says, "But God has made a way." He reconciles the two of us, brings us together, that indeed we may be godly because of him. And the angel gives her a proof, as if Mary did not believe, but of course she did, but just in case. your relative Elizabeth, your cousin, it's kind of the thought there, probably a second or third cousin, in her old age, has conceived a son. And it is the sixth month of her who was called barren. Elizabeth, we know, was very, very old when she conceived John. She had never had children. She and her husband had been hoping for years and years and years for a son. Or a daughter, perhaps. A son is always better in Israel, for the son is able to take care of the family once they have that need. And indeed, God, in his forbearance, knew that Elizabeth was not to bear a son until it was the appointed time, until Mary was ready to bear a son herself. And so he put John in her by the power of her husband. And in this, Elizabeth, who was once called barren, now speaks to the most barren woman of all. For what could be more barren than a virgin? A virgin cannot bear a child. A barren woman who has been trying for years theoretically could. God could open her womb. But a woman who had known no touch of man cannot bear. And so God sends Mary to the barren woman and says she also is pregnant. She also is bringing forth the prophecies of God. Nothing is impossible for him. For in her womb is the prophet who will bear witness about your son, Mary. In her womb is one who will leap for joy at even the presence of the Messiah. And Mary's cry was a cry of faith. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is a response of faith that we have not seen in this world since. That this woman, this young girl, heard the word of God come to her, and it was scary. This woman, who all generations will call blessed, looked at the angel and said, "Let it be so to me. If God has found favor in me, then let me do what he is asking. If God has found favor in me, then I will be faithful. And God did not find favor in Mary because she's so high and mighty and above all the rest of us. God found favor in Mary because she was the end of the hope of Israel. Every woman since the beginning of creation, since Eve herself, had hoped to bring forth the Messiah to save the world. And Mary was the final woman. Mary is the one who is able by her works to say, "No worries, hope and peace are coming." This is indeed why we call Mary blessed. Not because she is sinless, not because she was conceived immaculately, not because she was raised into heaven as Jesus was. We call her blessed because she has great faith. And you know what happened? She bore the child in her womb for 9 months, and they made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Out of a great act of faith by a mere woman, salvation has come. That is why indeed we sing and pray, O come, Emmanuel. Because we have looked to the coming of our Lord through Mary, and indeed he came just as God had promised. And now, indeed, in these last days, we look to the coming of our Lord, when he shall return from the right hand of the Father, when he shall come to judge the living and the dead, when he shall come to raise all of us out of our graves, when he shall come to remake this earth as it should be and save us. It is his name that tells us what he is about. It is the name given to him by God, given to him by Mary, given to him by Joseph, his adoptive father. Jesus shall save us from our sins now and into eternity. Our Jesus is the one who is tabernacled among us. Jesus is indeed in his flesh housing the Son of God, for he is the Son of God. And Jesus, in his flesh, laid it all down that he might bring you to himself forever. Jesus, in his flesh, the flesh he borrowed from Mary, brought you to himself. And if we are then brothers of Jesus and sisters of Jesus, then we are also God's children, and we are also the children of Mary. We are children of faith. We can respond to God in the same way. Lord, you made it so for Mary. Make it so for me that I might bring your word into the world, that through the word of God, many would find the salvation that you would have through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.